I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars, and this week, Bon Jovi's clothes.
I think that last podcast's discussion about Formula One drivers turning up for impromptu track days in old shagbag cars has actually fired up people's imagination. I've had all sorts of suggestions sent over. Some of them are just genius. Ex-florist Bedford Rascal on Cup 2s.
That's going over at the first corner, isn't it? Because it's grip.
Oh, that is going to be it's going to be two-wheeling everywhere precariously. I love all that.
And it's going on its nose, isn't it?
Oh, it's
under braking again, too grippy.
Oh, yeah, he's put some serious EBC pads in, left the discs and calipers as they are. But he's just gone for really bitey pads, and that means the old cab over engine kind of stance is in a lot of trouble. Yeah. There is definitely something about it, I have to say.
Yeah, still open to offers from
from actual
producers.
Formula One drivers? Or
yeah, well, yeah, obviously, but, you know, it's people who want to make it into a TV format. And, you know, maybe a sort of support show for the Formula One coverage. You know, all right, there's another race coming up. It probably would be pretty processional, but don't worry. Last weekend, we did an event at Bedford Autodrome, and we lured a load of punters there and then surprised them when it turned out that Daniel Ricciardo was there in a really ratty ex-minicab Laguna that he literally bought off a taxi driver outside Peterborough Station.
He bought it on Gumtree on the way to the event. He bought it en route. He didn't even have a car. He set off on the flight and thought, right, I'll just quickly circle the area, get the postcode, see what's up, and just get someone to take me there and pick it up. Maybe if he's lucky, he'll wheel it into the pits first and like give someone a backhander to put some decent 1050 weight oil in it, and that's which will probably make it prolapse anyway. But yeah,
I feel like Daniel Ricciardo might buy stuff off Gumtree anyway. He's just I know this is no logic at all. I always associate Gumtree with Australians.
What, because it's the gum tree?
Maybe. You're taking it.
I quite like Gumtree.
Of course.
Yeah, Gumtree used to be really good for buying cheap cars that were just hideously badly advertised. I think the halcyon days of that are over. I cashed in on that a little, and I cashed in on that on eBay back in the right at the start of the millennium.
You're talking about your sort of one portrait aspect, but then wrongly orientated photo of the sort of rear three-quarter out of focus at night. And the name of the car is spelt wrong.
Yeah. Well, it's exactly that. And I've seen so many cars advertised like that. And, of course, people dismiss it because they think, well, if the person can't be bothered to take pictures or write about it, then they probably have never even lifted the bonnet or vacuumed it. So, therefore, it's shit. But, actually, that's the way to kind of sniff out the real... That's when you want to get your truffle pig out and start digging a little deeper.
Well, there's another TV series that's yet to be made. Johnny Smith, Automotive Truffle Pig. That's what you should have called the Late Break Show channel.
Oh, bloody should, you, shouldn't I?
Just you going around snuffling at garage doors, going.
If I was like a Porsche whisperer, I could be the truffle pig. I sniff out old Porsches, secondhand Porsches, and get a really good deal on them because I'm the truffle pig. I smell out the porkers. Yeah. No, I'm not. I haven't got the capital for that. I think you probably need a bag of about 400 grand kicking around to go in and do the Gas Monkey Garage style kind of walk up with a head bag. Do you remember those holdalls? That were, are they prism shaped? They were prismatic.
They're sort of like a soft triangle in section, aren't they?
A soft triangle,
almost
exactly.
Almost like the shape of a Wankel rotary. The internals of a Wankel rotary engine.
The internals of a Wankel rotary. Yeah, exactly that. So there was always, I think, kids at school that often got their bags thrown onto the roof of the school often had head bags.
they were ubiquitous, isn't they? My parents wouldn't get me one because, you know, usual sort of parental, you've got a perfectly good bag as it is. And I was very jealous of the kids who had head bags. They were quite cool for a while.
I went for the rucksack myself with fluoro accents. It was typical of the era. It was,
and that was the new one from Fluoro Accents.
And I,
so taken
and I,
from their album, The Internal Workings of a Wankel Rotary Engine.
I tell you, I definitely went through the slightly stupid phase of painting things with Tippex on a canvas bag at school.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Sometimes standard car badges. There were a couple of car badges which I Tippexed on, and in hindsight, if I could whisper in my 11-year-old self's ear, I'd be like, looks a bit crap. I'm just saying, it looks a bit crap.
Which car badges, though?
Well, it was definitely Volkswagen.
Okay, that's quite easy to do, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I did the VW, so I got quite good at that. And I used to get very cross when people used to join the bottom of the V with the top of the W, because it isn't actually joined.
Hang on, but is it? Doesn't it depend on which iteration of the badge?
It sort of does, Rich. I knew that, because you being you, I knew you'd ask me that.
Because I feel like they are joined now on the latest badge, aren't they? But there's a gap.
There's
at
an
the
outline.
Bottom.
I think the outline is joined, but the inner.
Oh, okay.
The inner, it's hard to explain, but when you join them as a line drawing, it doesn't look right.
Okay.
I can't believe we're discussing this, but it's true.
I can.
Trust me. Trust me, mate. Trust me. And of course, you've got the typical, you've got the blue background and the V and the W are white.
Yeah.
And of course, they've abandoned that now, haven't they? It's all black and white for ultimate Germanic transparency, because definitely not cheating any diesel test rigs.
No.
And so it's gone.
Gassing some monkeys.
Yeah, or anything like that. Gassing some monkeys garage. Is that the is that the
gas monkey?
What, it's like really, really terrible treatment of animals just happened to happen in the corner of a garage where we're doing up El Caminos and Mustangs.
What's that all about?
But they're like, guys, can you just, you've got to do the track rod ends on that and the engine mats, and then can you go and whip a couple of dogs in the corner? When you finish doing that, get back onto the rear quarter panels of that Chevelle.
Yeah, exactly that.
Yeah.
Right. Since we're talking about car badges, someone mentioned this last week, said, I don't know why.
Oh, Peugeot's changed.
Peugeot have changed their badge.
Yeah.
So
Stellantis have been busy already.
haven't
they?
Reach for the lasers with Stellantis. Yeah. Yeah. They... So Peugeot are, I think, supposedly going to head up market a little bit to try and, I suppose, create some space below them for one of the 100 other companies in the Stellantis crew.
No, collective. You've got to call it collective. you couldn't call it a crew, because I think it's too big for that. Is it a collective?
It's bigger than a squad, I know that.
Oh, squad.
Collective. Yeah.
So don't you think people that say squad goals, it's a shitty term, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit twatty, isn't it?
Squad goals. Oh, shut up.
Yeah.
Come on.
Worn out.
Squat goals. I don't know, that's... Is it when you break into like an old stately home and just start living there for free?
Yeah. Yeah, I think some people do that on one of those really big mansions on the Bishop's Avenue, the notoriously expensive street that's not far from me here in London.
Yeah, I think they did. Yeah, and it used to happen a lot in the 80s. I know.
Yeah, squats are very 80s, aren't they? I think.
Well, it's because I suppose it was a revolt against the sort of Thatcherism, and I mean, I was a very young kid in the 80s, so I didn't know a great deal about the political tension.
Hmm.
But I've never squatted. I've walked into buildings that are semi-derelict and may have climbed through a window or two of an old factory once.
I knew some people who lived in a house that I thought was a squat.
It was disgusting.
Bad. Yeah, it was so disgusting. And I was quite staggered to discover they paid rent.
What?
Yeah, it's a really bad house.
Oh,
I mean, really bad, sort of comically, you know, student young ones spec kind of house. It's the house where there was a bloke who lived there who was just a disgraceful human being in so many ways, and one of them was that him and the other two guys who lived there. There were five of them: two women, two men, and the three blokes went out drinking. came back. It was an old Victorian terrace house, and it still had the separate lavatory. So the bathroom was, you know, was a separate room.
Yeah, I remember that.
There was only one loo, and it was upstairs. And one of the blokes got home and immediately went in to the loo. And this disgusting lad just went and pooed in the bath.
No!
And then went to bed and forgot about it. And the next morning, one of the women in the house went to have a shower, pulled back the shower curtain, and there's just a turd in the bath. Although that is... Do you ever remember... I don't know if your kids have watched a CBeebies show called Discover and Do. Do you ever see that? It's
like rings a bell, actually.
Yeah. It's got a very distinctive theme tune. It's Discover and Do, Discover and Do. And I always used to just sing it as Discover a Poo.
Discover and Do-Do.
Well, because they Discover and Do, they would sort of go Discover and Do, and then they would describe in words rather than singing something that they were discovering and doing. I always like to just sing Discover a Poo and then go, my friend Hayley once pulled back a shower curtain and found a turd in the bath. Discover a Poo. My mate Hemel was trying to get a frisbee out of a tree when he trod in a dog turd while wearing flip flops. Discover a Poo. And so on.
I swear the other day, it was awful. I borrowed a base model Porsche Taycan for the last 4 days, and I've done quite a lot of miles. I've done a few shoots, and just been solitary, you know, living in this Taycan basically. But I did that thing where I pulled over to a lay-by for quite a long wee. And when I got back in, there was a lot of fly tipping. I think I might have stood in something unholy. And when I got back in, you know, when you just get that musty, slightly wrong smell coming up from the pedal box, and you go, oh, and of course, if you've got the heating pushing down onto your feet, which I did have, it was like, oh no, is that poo or is that sick or is it just general detritus? Oh, because it's been raining, it was wet and mushy, and you're like, oh gosh. Because the thing is, if you ever drag doggy do into a car that's got plush carpets, it's a day's work. You couldn't book the next day off work.
Yeah. Oh, there's a strong argument just for taking the car straight to a scrapyard and asking them to crush it.
Do you just Stanley knife the whole carpet set out and throw it away?
No, I need. Have you got oxyacetylene here? Yeah, I need you to cut out the floor pan where the driver's feet were addressed. I had a Mitsubishi Evo 10 as a long-term test car from Evo magazine, appropriately. And I never got on with it. Just didn't like it.
I remember it was a horrible car.
I really liked Evo's, you know,
7, 8, 9.
Yeah. Well, actually, I suppose I never drove an earlier ones, but probably 6, 7, 8, and 9. Fantastic. Yeah. And then the 10, all new car, and I just didn't get on with it at all. I didn't like it.
No.
And I sort of grew to resent it somehow, which is, I know. People would sort of go, well, you've got a free car. And it's like, yeah, but, you know, magazines get these cars in because they want to find out what they're like to live with. And I thought the Evo was just horrible to live with for various reasons. But then towards the end of my time with it, I accidentally stepped some dog poo into it. And I cleaned it out. But then whenever I got in, I was convinced I could still smell it. And it sort of sealed the deal on how much I disliked that car, because it was like, oh, great. It's got really odd, glassy steering, and now it smells of poo.
Well, it's not going to improve the relationship, is it, really?
No.
It's a bit like if, I don't know, your relationship was on the rocks and then your missus stopped brushing her teeth. Isn't it?
Yeah. That sounds like something off fess hole.
What? Just stop brushing your teeth. I have to say though, I am down with this Taycan base model. It's reminded me, and I think we've had this conversation a few times before, but it's reminded me that a brand like Porsche, the best ones are nearly always the basic ones. As soon as you start ladling on the luxuries and all of the refinements, I feel like it's just not as satisfying a car to live with. Because then it becomes something else. It's trying to almost nudge into the world of Bentley, let's say, or something like that. I mean, this thing's just so good. Rear-wheel drive, single motor, comfortable. It's got the things that an EV needs. So it's very, very aerodynamic, the Taycan.
Mm.
And it just glides along like a gecko. It has got a face of a gecko.
It has, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's a gecko. It's a four-door gecko and with really comfortable seats and fine steering and like 300 miles of range. And I effortlessly drove it. I did 600 miles in 3 days.
Busy.
And thoroughly enjoyed myself with it. It was.
I've not driven a Taycan of any sort.
Well, drive the four-wheel drive, the more common, like 4S, Turbo, Turbo S. Drive all that shizzle first, because then you'll get a distinct reference. But what's also cool, and I know this sounds, don't get me wrong, it's not cheap, but It's 70,600 quid for the entry level Taycan, this one.
Yeah.
So that's 70 grand. Whereas the cheapest Audi e-tron GT, which I test drove recently and did a video on my YouTube channel, that starts at 83. Now that is a quattro. I doubt they'll do a rear wheel drive Audi because it's just not very Audi.
Mm.
Vorsprung Dirk Benedict techniques, but and whilst it's a really good car, I after getting out of it and then spending a few days with the rear drive Taycan, I was like, this is just a little bit nicer, a little bit better, a little bit more satisfying. Mm. Range is probably better because only one motor, and it's 13 grand cheaper with a Porsche badge on it. I'm like, hello, let's do this.
And then, but then presumably, I bet the one you tested wasn't 70 grand because they'd spec things like, I don't know, seat belts and
they have
£1,000.
Yeah, headlights. This one had window glass. Yeah, which obviously a Porsche option.
Front wheels as well. Okay. Oh, that's
welcome to the world of Porsche's measly configurator. It's like, do you want three quarters of the car painted? Do you want the rear end primer?
You want car paint? Yeah, I'm sorry. If you don't pay extra, it just comes covered in creosote. So,
just duck oil.
Yeah, that's I haven't. I'll be honest. Forgive me. I haven't watched your e-tron GT video yet. I've been very busy, but I did scan read a review of it on Autocar or Top Gear or somewhere, and the writer noted that it feels quite like an Audi. It doesn't feel like a Taycan.
That's true.
And that sort of makes the point that Audi deliberately sets up its cars like that. There is an Audi feel. And I've heard this said before. Because, you know, they went to... For the... When the A5 came out originally, the coupe, and then that the following generation of A4 and the A5 Sportback and all of those, and then the A6 all went onto a brand new platform where they'd they developed a whole new platform where they sort of flipped around the engine and gearbox so that they could move the front wheels forward to get better weight distribution, make them sort of handle a bit more like BMWs as best they could. And apparently they could have done a lot more, but then the marketing and management people said, no, they've got to still feel like Audis. So they basically went to all the bother of doing a complicated new platform, and the cars felt pretty much the same because that's what was decreed they should feel like.
Yeah, I mean, Audis are better than they've been in a long time. Mm. Don't get me wrong, they used to be incredibly nosy, didn't they?
Really sort of, I don't know, there was a kind of heavy but quite leaden feeling to a lot of them.
Which
I remember the one that I realised they'd sort of actually, they were doing better than I remembered was, and this was quite a while ago now, I borrowed a basic A6.
Yeah,
I can't remember if it was a press car. It might have been a hire car or something. Just absolute bog basic A6, and it was really nice. And it rode really nicely, which, you know, for a while Audi sort of didn't. And it was just a very pleasant car, like way more pleasant than I remembered a lot of.
I can't remember the B numbers of the Audi, you know, like the RS type cars. But the first gen Audi A6 all road. That shape of A6. is my favourite A6. I love that shape with a sort of quite bulbous bum.
Yes, but I know it's, what you mean.
It's bulbous but aero.
You don't see them around so much anymore, do you?
No.
Imagine they are quite old now. I think the spares were. That's from the 90s, isn't it?
Is it like right at the end of the 90s?
Yeah,
it's millennium. 90s. Yeah, and I've never owned one, and I think the parts were quite expensive, which is why when they hit that certain price point, you could probably write them off if they needed a bumper and a light. But I do dig them. I overtook one on the motorway day before yesterday, and I looked at it and went, "That is such," and it was an Avant, and it was like, "That's such a good looking car. It's really nice."
I remember driving that original Allroad. And I think it was a V6 diesel auto, and it was an absolute whack of toss. It was terrible.
Was that the twin turbo?
Or was it so laggy. It was like you got the lag of the engine plus the sort of natural rubber bandy feeling of an old-fashioned auto box. Combined with two, trying to pull out onto a roundabout or something with any degree of urgency. I mean, it was almost dangerous how sort of sluggish it was. And then suddenly went, whoa, off we go. Yeah, it was shite.
I know what you mean, and that's possibly the GT, the e-tron, the turd, grand turd, if you want it to be really
turd,
is a great car as in itself, irrespective of the fact that it's electric. It's a really good car, and it's a good Audi. It's also a top car. I said in the feature, the side profile of it, I think, is amazing. Better than the Taycan. The front, I think I prefer the Taycan, and the rear is about on par. Of course, this is all subjective, but no, I really like that car. I think it's good. But I don't know if they're going to do an estate like the old, like the Taycan's. Is it Sport Turismo?
Turismo, yeah, it just came out, didn't it, last week? And it's
looks good.
It's a nice looking thing, isn't it? It doesn't sit as high as I was expecting in the photos. I mean, it looks like it's not.
You were hoping for Matra Rancho levels of with searchlights on the A pillar.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, yeah, that would work quite well. Going to think
a
of
trick.
It.
Come on, Porsche, pull your finger out. Why has it not got searchlights at the bottom of the A pillars? it's a nice looking thing, isn't it? It's just nice to
have another like good performance electric car in the portfolio. Off of like buyers, consumers, and all that
in a portfolio. Well, all right.
Is there a port? Is there an actual shipping port called Folio? I'd love it if there is. It'd be amazing.
A Taycan came up behind me the other day, and they do make quite a funny noise at low speed. Have you noticed?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, it's the special synthesized.
It was weird. I had headphones on, but I still was like, what the bloody hell is that? And lo, it was a Taycan. It was a brand new one with one of those new number plates that's got the green bit at the end to show it's an electric car.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, it's unfortunate because you've got to choose the colour of your car quite carefully or it clashes horribly with the paintwork.
Or do you just buy a brand new number plate as soon as you've bought the car and hang those on the garage wall? Excuse me.
But I think people want the green bit to show that they're
eco credentials.
Electric car. Because it's funny, in the 2 years we've had our iPace, the number of people who have admired it just for the way it looks, and then and it's electric, and they've gone, oh, it's electric, is it? And they've no idea, because if they're not into cars, why would they? And it's like, I always thought, if you look at the iPace, it's got those sort of black panels in the bottom bit of the doors.
Yeah.
And they have Jaguar written in the front ones.
Yeah.
And I always thought, would it have killed them to write electric in there somewhere just to make the point? Because...
Oh, what, like the threshold, the kind of threshold thing? Or the... Or right at the bottom thing. Of the... Like, where you know, the sill guard.
Oh, no, on the outer... No, on the outer door skin.
Oh, okay.
There's a black panel let into the metalwork, which I think is just sort of from... design point of view takes a bit of weight out of the body side, and it's got
could have EV or
yeah. I just think it's,
yeah, it could
I mean
do.
I don't know, it depends how much you want to show off about
I
that.
Think EV badges should be deletable, like a lot of the old BMWs and things. You could delete option all badging, couldn't you, apart from the old propellers. So if you had a 740, you just like, I don't care if it's 740, I want to know, but nobody else does, so it could be a 728, you know. Let the people decide when we pull away from the lights. Let the people decide.
Oh, there was someone who used to roll around West London in an E39 shape M5 that they'd rebadged as a 520D.
Oh, which
I
brilliant.
Thought was quite cool.
That's very cool. Yeah. They probably did that as well, so that when it's parked on the street at night, potential crims didn't think, I'm going to take that one. Oh, I know what I was going to say to you. It just reminded me. When I went to do a job a couple of days ago, I had to drive down a cul-de-sac. And down the cul-de-sac was a corner plot semi-detached house with quite a small front garden, which had been liberally gravelled. And on the front garden was two Vauxhall Omegas, one E39 BMW that looked like it had been set up to skid or do naughty things.
Right.
And there was one other kind of like three box saloon thing, and it was, and they were forced so tightly onto the plot, like you couldn't even see the front door. So if you had to like bring your shopping in, I don't know how you would have got through all the cars to go in your own house. It was brilliant. But the Omegas, one of them looked ex-police spec. And you know, since you spoke to me about that ex-police Vauxhall Omega, the sort of detective spec that came up on eBay, that I can't stop thinking about it. I really want one, and it's eroding my thoughts on a week, because I'm like, I'd love a really well set up, like breathed over Omega, cop, which had a little bit of cop history, but like you say, not white with all the holes drilled in it from Blues and Tuesdays, just detectives, so dark with maybe wheel trims or steelies and. Mm.
Plain clothes. After we talked about that car, it occurred to me that plain clothes is a funny way of referring to undercover police people, isn't it? Because it implies that there's an opposite to that, which is when they're wearing uniform, they're in. But what's the opposite of plain? Sort of fancy, isn't it?
I
was stopped by two fancy clothes officers. You mean in uniform? Yeah.
I think plain clothes, because I always refer to aeroplanes as planes, so I'm thinking that the clothes have got pictures of things like Boeing 747s, and he's got a tie with a Blackbird SR... What's the SR?
SR-71.
Yeah, it's got a picture of one of those, or a tie pin of one. So you're just wearing plain clothes. I've just taken it absolutely literally. You have to wear aviation-related apparel.
Unless the
have you got any aviation plain apparel?
Have I?
Yeah.
No. My boy's got a sort of aeroplane bed sheets, but they've got other vehicles on as well. If that counts, which
I'd love it if you could get king size duvet set for, like as a married man. Yeah. I would love it to
come
just...
home. Your wife comes in one day and you've turned your marital double bed into an enormous racing car alike with a duvet.
No, like A-Team. Do you remember the A-Team ones where there's that lovely montage scene of like the van jumping through, I don't know, an explosion or smoke, and then you've got Hannibal with the cigar holding up probably an AK-47 with a grey jacket on. Howling Mad Murdoch. You've got the whole scene with them all in. But it's on a king-size married 42-year-old man's bed.
Stand by, caller. I'm going onto eBay.
Oh, no, don't do it. Don't do it.
I'm just going
to
search.
I'm just
bedroom.
Trying to think.
No, I'm going
to
bet you £100 that they don't make them in double bed size, because that would be weird. But there is. Oh, my God, it's expensive as well. Vintage, the A-Team twin bedspread. We can't mean twin.
What's a double set or a?
Well, but that's weird, isn't it? I know. Anyway, let's have a look at this. But oh, it's got Mr. T's on there. It's got a helicopter. Yeah, there's a jeep
there
coming
go.
Out of an explosion.
I told you, there's something jumping. It's the montage that we all want. It's the absolute montage that we all want.
Do you know what the buy it now price is for this A-Team bedspread?
I don't.
$75.
Oh, man. Is it in good nick?
Well, it's in the packet still, I think.
Oh, sugar.
Look at the description. Can't find the description now. Here we go, yeah. awesome 80s vintage twin bread spread featuring cult TV classic The A-Team, exclamation mark. New old stock, still in packaging, exclamation mark. 1983, made in the US by Bibb Company. 50-50 cotton poly blend. Ooh, cotton poly blend, sweaty.
Of course it's sweaty. It's not going to be blimmin' Egyptian cotton A-Team bedspread, is it? Flute.
600 threads. Yeah, so it says, this is a bedspread, not a comforter, perfect for your nostalgic bedroom, conversation van, or even heavyweight crafting fabric. What the fuck's a conversation van?
What van, as in a vehicle? Conversation van?
Well, I don't know. I guess so. Conversation van. By the way, the
does they mean conversion?
Maybe.
I quite like. I'm going to say that a conversation van is my new word for like a day van. You know, like a VW.
Yes.
Not a Synchro. What my? What's
like
the name?
California.
No, the ones that are just got like a minibus type thing, like an adventure van.
Okay.
Oh, I can't remember what they're called. Day van type thing.
Yeah.
Do
you want to chat? Yeah, come on, let's get into the conversation van.
Maybe we should own. We keep talking about going halves on something inappropriate.
No, you keep talking about going halves on something. I don't ever.
I've got to buy a caravan, but maybe I have to offset that horrible.
Oh yeah, have you found a caravan yet?
I've bookmarked a few on the internet, but I haven't bought one yet.
Is time
it's a minefield
running out?
Yeah, we're going to be in it by May.
Oh, no, you've got loads of time.
Yeah, that's but I've right. I've got to sell / get rid of quite a lot of car-related parts and paraphernalia in order to empty the loft and garage before demolition, which is right. I think it's going to be a little bit stressful over the next... I might hold a raffle. I was tempted to hold a raffle. I don't know, we'll see. Could be a Smith & Sniff raffle. Who wants to win a Jag XJ40 steering wheel? Yeah, I do. Okay.
I think probably this podcast is as good a place as any to try and get rid of.
Yeah, I've got all kinds of stupid
items
stuff
like that. There's another A-Team bed sheet on eBay, as it turns out. The A-Team to the rescue, vintage twin bed flat sheet. Why do I keep saying twin bed? Like, twin bed means two beds, surely. Anyway.
Unless twins always sleep together. Is that an unwritten rule in some states?
Maybe, yeah. but this one is only $28, but it's only the sheet, and I don't think it's in its package.
I think, and if this happens, I will eat my. I think there's a market for adult king size duvet sets that are slightly retrospective. So Airwolf, for example, Goonies. I don't know, Dirty Dancing, maybe Point Break.
you want an enormous double duvet cover just splattered with childhood memories of TV and film.
Well, maybe. I don't know if it would be a shit idea. You haven't worked it out yet.
I think, pitch it to your wife and see what she says.
Yeah, I think I think if it was Back to the Future and it was done, if it was an interesting piece of design, she might go, "Ah, oh, that's all right for."
Well, what about a double duvet cover with just the two flaming tire tracks up it?
Oh, with a little DeLorean on the pillow.
Yeah, mm.
Oh. Bloody hell, Rich, this could work.
Subtle, but those who know would know.
Yeah. I'm going to speak to some people that I know who work in this area.
Who do you know who makes bed linen?
I know. Well, I know a couple of companies that do, you know, that make retro clothing under license.
Oh, okay.
In fact, they listen to this podcast. So,
well, you've just given them a good idea. Well, you've given them an idea.
I've given them a really good idea, but I like to think that they maybe I'll get a percentage if this becomes reality. Unlikely, but. We'll see.
The description for this other A-Team bedspread says, The A-Team's the rescue, vintage twin bed flat sheet only, 1983. Mr. T was the man.
What?
Fine prints say Stephen J. Lannell Productions. I don't think it was Lannell, was it?
Cannell.
Cannell, yeah, with his typewriter. Condition is used, in inverted commas. A little faded, but very good condition. You can see everything, including Mr. T.
What? Not you can't see everything of Mr. T. He's got the lot out. Mr. T's got the lot out.
Mr. T is doing what we were talking about last week, and he's Donald Ducking, as somebody said in our comments about a man just wearing a T-shirt and nothing else.
Donald Ducky. Donald Ducky. Did just wear a sailor's top and nothing down below.
Yeah, or was it Winnie the Poohing? I can't remember. Someone said, because Winnie the Pooh's another one, just wearing a waistcoat and nothing else. I mean, he's basically exposing himself.
Winnie the Pooh. Basically, Winnie the Poohing is what probably every single beer festival that you ever go to, there's always one bloke who's just catastrophically pissed and somehow lost the lower garments, and he's just walking around with a large jug of ale, with a long sleeve T-shirt on, or waistcoat, or both, and you're like, ooh, yeah. It's probably a foreign beer festival. I might have to add that in. It's probably not in our own country. Lithuania. It's a Lithuanian beer festival.
At British beer festivals, though, there is always a man in a leather waistcoat, often with one of those sort of Crocodile Dundee type hats on.
Oh, always. And he'll have a few sew-on patches, which will be real ale or motorcycle related.
Yeah, and probably long hair in a ponytail. Wiry grey hair in a ponytail.
Very wiry, yeah, probably should and, have. Yeah.
And he's having a few halves.
And he loves the interesting ales. Unusual named ales, always lesser known drinks. Yeah. Probably smokes rollies too.
Yeah.
He's a rollie smoker.
Good at woodworking.
Oh, he'll whittle whatever you want him to. Yeah. But what does he drive, Rich? Because if he's a motorcyclist, he's a reluctant driver. Because he's like, I'm too old to ride every day, so I have to drive.
Yeah, I don't know that this guy's a motorcyclist anymore, though. I think he's those days are behind him. I reckon he's probably got like a first gen Discovery.
Oh, of course he has.
Because Beer Festival waistcoat and Croc Dundee hat ponytail man is there's a Venn diagram where he might be green laning / extreme off roading in a bobtailed Land Rover at weekend.
Oh, yeah, of course he is. But he's one of those people that drinks an enormous amount of ale, but he's so scrawny. You're like, how does that work? You drink all that yeasty booze and yet sugary.
Oh, well, you see, my vision of him is he's actually quite paunchy because of the ale.
Oh,
enthusiasm for ale.
See, I've got an image of a cat weasel.
You need to be a big guy to get away with the leather waistcoat and the hat. I think it doesn't. I mean, I suppose if you're a bit of a cat
weasel,
I love
the rules that we're inventing for this. I haven't been to a beer festival in such a long time, and I would like to go because for people watching, they're amazing. But I think you're absolutely right. First-gen disco, a couple of aftermarket mods, probably check plate where it doesn't really suit it, but hey, it's his truck, he'll do what he wants. The waistcoat, which has seen so many events.
If leather waistcoats could talk...
Oh, well, there's a children's story.
Real ale.
It is the sort of crocodile. It's Crocodile Dundee, but he lives in Saffron Walden.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, he's never been to Australia, probably never been to a hot country, actually.
I think he lives just up the A1 and off a bit.
One of these places right on the A1 where you open your front door and there's just trucks going by 2 metres away.
Yeah.
Blowing particulates up your hallway.
Yeah. Well, there are these. You see those little cottages that are right on the A1, aren't they? Sort of through like Sandy in Bedfordshire. Oh,
If you tripped out of your house, you know, you were in a rush, you tripped over your own doorstep, you'd end up in the road and get run over.
Yeah, you'd just trip, headbutt the side of a lorry as it went by. And then, yeah, they're weird, aren't they? I bet that you could just never have clean windows. Your windows permanently have a tint to them because of the grime that comes off the road.
I tell you what, just before we started recording this podcast, on the radio they were playing Scorpions, The Winds of Change. And I thought to myself, when you hear that song, what is pretty much the only car you think of?
The only car I think
of? Yeah. If you had to think of a car during Scorpions, Winds of Change.
For some reason, I think of one of those wide-bodied Merc SECs from the 80s.
Oh, dear.
White. Yeah, I don't know why.
Oh, it's wow. German, I suppose. Oh, see, German, yeah, but
spec.
That's very kind of, yeah, rock star. See, I only think of Trabants.
Oh. Well, because I can see why.
Because of Escaping the East.
Yeah.
And I just have this, it's just this huge fug of, you know, cold, dewy morning with lots of two-stroke cars, but also lots of East German smoking because, you know, 80s. And so
like
everything,
high tar cigarettes.
Yeah, so everything's smoking. Wherever you look, it's all smoking. So it's factories are smoking, all the cars are smoking, all the people are smoking in the cars. You can't escape it. And that's the image that that song always gives me. So I don't get the rock star thing. I actually get the sort of downtrodden life.
I see smoke, but it's actually dry ice. It's a wide-bodied white.
Oh,
gosh. SEC with a low mist of dry ice all around it for some reason, and the scorpions are getting into it.
A white car, white mist.
80s hair, yeah, yeah. White leather trousers, perhaps. I don't know.
Well, I mean, seriously.
Can you get white leather trousers? I feel like I've never seen such a thing. They're always black, aren't they, leather trousers, or maybe red, but...
Pre-internet, where the bloody hell would you buy them from?
Oh, there's a place.
Where'd you get
them? If you're
them?
In the Scorpions, you know a guy.
You no what clothes procurement department of the Scorpions? I love it. Actually, you know, those are wide body SECs. So ridiculous, but now so prized.
Yeah,
because they typify the era, don't they? They absolutely
and how?
Typify.
Yeah. Well, you see, that's the thing. I bet a lot of those had white leather seats, but it's odd that the white leather would never made it to a trouser factory. As far as I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know.
I just.
Or is there a practical reason why you can't have white leather trousers? Because they're just, as soon as you sit anywhere, they just get ruined. You know, you go,
that's the thing. There was
bench.
Some, like, soft rock era, some really quite careful laundry had to be going on. Because they've got a lot of delicates, probably a lot of dry clean only.
A lot of delicates.
And you've got to be bothered to do that.
What's delicate in a soft rock wardrobe?
Come on, there's
lacy things.
Yeah, there's lace, like, and spandex and light spandex, lycra, and that stuff doesn't machine wash well, or didn't.
No.
You got to be
very... Jesus, do not put it in the dryer.
If you tumble dry that and just before a gig and you put it on it, it's two sizes too small. You're like, dude, you, come on. I mean, I can see that you're circumcised. Come on. That's too much, too much, too much. I don't know. I mean, I know we've talked about metal as clothing, 80s metal clothing, but soft rock of that era.
Yeah.
It's a lot of delicate, man-made fibres.
You're right. I hadn't really thought about it, but it is definitely, do not just throw everything in the machine and accidentally put it on at 60.
No, because you'll ruin it.
It's ruined.
The only thing you wouldn't wash, I suppose, would be the leather waistcoat, which would you'd. I mean, what would you do? You'd occasionally give it a wipe down. I don't know.
Is it like a cricket bat? You have to give it a quick rub over with linseed oil.
You
or
do.
Something.
You do have to give it a quick linseed oil rub. That's exactly what you do.
I mean, if you live the lavish life of an 80s soft rocker, I imagine you've got like a sort of mannequin thing in your bedroom upon which you put the leather waistcoat at night. Like, you know, the way that they have those model heads for wigs. You put the waistcoat on a torso, on a pole.
Oh, that'd be so,
and then
you can
terrifying. Go over it with an oily cloth.
You wake up for a 3 a.m. piss, and there's this like soft rock mannequin at the end of your bed. I jump out of my skin. I've got this image of kind of Joe Exotic driving a wide body at SEC now. That's the kind of look, isn't it, in my head? You've got a lot of hair, bleach blonde. A lot of animal print, possibly, with man-made fibres.
I'll try to look up photos of Bon Jovi in the mid-80s to see what they were wearing. And it's a mixed bag, actually, but...
What, laundry
so
bag?
Actually, no, probably... Actually, there are some delicates, because... Look at the bloody state of these idiots, by the way. They look like a joke band. It's like, if you dressed people up like this for a movie set in the 80s about a band, then
yeah, I know.
Any producer in their right mind would go, no, 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 far too on the nose. Take this down. Take it right down a notch, because you
but
are...
Seriously, they were getting so much tail, more tail than you would ever even imagine.
There's quite a bit of waistcoat action in this picture I've got here, and
leather,
you know, those
or fabric.
Fabric disappointed me. But, you know, this is just one photo. This is one snapshot. There's some leather trousers. Jovi's got a long leather coat on with the sleeves rolled up, obviously. I mean, all their sleeves are rolled up except one, the guy who looks too old to be in the band.
Why is he the janitor of the recording studio?
They've all got fucking Deirdre Barlow hair. It's extraordinary.
I know.
It's madness. But... and a lot of bracelets as well. Hadn't thought about that.
Okay, a lot of bracelets.
Like on his very sort of frondy scarf, Bon Jovi has got, you know, those mad, really massive sunglasses that Donald Trump's wife, what's her name?
Melania
Trump wears.
Yes.
It looks like he's got a pair of those hooked onto his very frondy scarf.
What, women's sunglasses on top?
I can't really tell. I know this is not exactly brilliant podcasting, just to be talking about a photo you can't see. I will stick it on the pod, on the Patreon page, which every week when the show comes out, I also do a page of show notes with links and pictures and things that are relevant. I'll put it on there so you can have a look at the picture, but it's a treat. I'm mesmerised by how awful they look. But I can't quite work out which of these items would be machine washable or not.
I think dressing as the car, dressing period correct as the car, you could have so much fun if you really just didn't give a toss and you just went with it. It'd just be brilliant, wouldn't it?
Is that not what people do at Radwood, you know, that American car show?
Yeah, I think, yeah. It's late 80s, early to mid 90s equivalent.
90s is big.
Is it just 90s? Sort of, it's the equivalent of the battle recreation people, isn't it, that we've talked about before, Sealed Knot or whatever you call them. So instead of dressing up as a, I don't know, a Viking or a Norman.
A round head.
you go, oh no, I'm dressing up as like absolutely 1988 Berlin, yeah, Mercedes 190 Cosworth owner. That's what I'm dressing up as today.
But didn't we talk about this, like, not on the show? We were just chatting about it the other week about cosplay cars. There's certain cars that sort of...
Oh, yeah, cosplay.
I mean, Morgan's being the case in point. Like, a Morgan literally won't start unless you're wearing a tweedy cap. And
absolutely. It's like,
preferably some leather gloves.
It's like facial recognition. It just won't work.
The cars have keyless start with a Morgan. It just detects whether you've got a tweed cap on or not, and then it will allow the engine to turn over.
It does. It says, hang on a minute, you're looking sort of 6 out of 10 in the terms of the Victorian inventor scale. I think you need to up your game. The car will develop a mysterious misfire until
you've started dressing like an Edwardian stable hand.
Yeah. I quite like the whole... I mean... Morgan's, it's part of the escapism and the joy of an eccentric car like that, isn't it? But I think cosplay, yeah. I think some, I mean, it could just be about Cosworths, couldn't it? Cosplay.
Cosplay.
You go out in your cosplay. And obviously playing just means sliding it everywhere inappropriately, like, I don't know, dead-end housing estates. We absolutely just blatting it up, thinking, oh, I'm just going to go through here. And you realise it's a dead end. You've got to do that embarrassing three-point turn. Or if you're in a cosa, you probably just do like a nice pirouette, wouldn't you? Like World Rally style, four-wheel drive. You know, those ones which are really probably quite deathy on the drive shafts, but they look great.
Oh, God, yeah.
I do like them.
The drive shafts. Yeah, yeah, they're a nice thing to observe.
They are. I've seen a few outside of the Ace Cafe.
Really?
Yeah, when there used to be Max Power Nights and at the Ace Cafe, which the magazine organised, and it was absolute bedlam. It was complete bedlam. It was amazing, and it was always a Cosworth owner that just had to, would not be upstaged by anyone.
No, well. When was this?
I reckon
early 2000s.
2003, 2002 kind of era. Max Power Nights, once a month, I think they used to hold them at the Ace Cafe. Because, of course, the Ace Cafe would do biker nights and they do hot rod nights. And I used to go to a few different types then. But yeah, the Max Power ones were the really just unhinged. And there was a mini roundabout right outside it, so you'd sort of peacock up and down. There's like a catwalk, but it was a public road, and it was right next to a sorting office. And I'll never forget. There was a line of Royal Mail trucks, like leaning on their horns, irate drivers who are probably trying to deliver special delivery parcels that, you know, have to be in the other end of the country in 6 hours' time. And there's a bloke in a cozy, and he's 1 minute into a burnout, and he's not stopping. And he's leaning out the window, and I think he's probably got a bracelet on, and he's absolutely, this is his moment of fame. This is his Christmas number one. And everyone, and there's thousands of people there, Rich. You can't see the path, you can't see any of the tarmac. It's just a cozy, and it's absolutely lit up with the fog lights on, blazing. And it's, and there's just a line of Royal Mail trucks behind him, and he doesn't care, and he's not stopping.
Hang on, was this Whale Tail Cosworth or Sapphire?
It was Saf.
That's good. In my head, it was a Saf. So I'm
it was a Saf because
was it lime green? Has it been resprayed in some lurid way?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. I think a photograph of that particular one went in the mag. I think it was white, but it for the purposes of cosplay, it can be any colour you want it to be, because that's all. That's what cosplay is all about, or cosplay. Yeah.
Hey, I've just had a thought. I mean, I know you're doing your Allegro V6 project at the moment. You've got the interior sort of mapped out because you're using some of that tube fabric. Tube trains.
Some old London fabric. Underground fabric, yeah, which I'm very pleased about.
But the next car that you do up, why don't you have the seats reupholstered in 18 bed sheets?
Bloody hell, that's a good idea.
Just a thought.
When you're saying the next car you do up, could that be the next car that we co-own, and we can write it off against taxed for Smith & Sniff, obviously? It'll be a cheap shitter. Will it be that Rover 75 hearse that's been converted into Ecto-1? And we'll do it with old-school Ghostbusters 1 and 2 bedsheet sets.
Bloody hell.
That's a really good idea, Rich.
I don't know how bedsheets as car seat material. I wonder if...
thin.
They're just going to wear through, aren't they?
Yeah, you can't wear any abrasive clothing. You'd have to dress as a soft rocker, obviously, which would be just genre mixing gone bad.
Spandex leggings.
Yeah, they'd be like, right, so it's a hearse trying to be Ghostbusters, but not, and you're dressed as Bon Jovi circa 86.
You seem to be dressed as the rhythm section of Poison. Why is that? It's a long story. But please put on these jogger bottoms before you dress.
Well, Poison were bad, weren't they? They were bad?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, brave guys. Fair play to them. You can't dress like that now, I don't think.
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe you could. There's sort of... depends how brave you're feeling, really.
Yeah. I think with all the restrictions we've had in the last 12 months, I actually aspire to be the guy at the beer festival with the waistcoat on and the disco wand. It's weird, isn't it? He's loving it. He's loving it. He's got his modified disco wand. He probably runs it on a bit of cherry because he's got a mate who has a small holding. They order fuel at a ton at a time. He's got his own secret little tank. He goes around there every 3 days just to top it up. And, well, you know what I'm talking
about. I
feel
like leather waistcoat and hat and scraggly ponytail beer festival belly man is actually quite law-abiding.
Do you?
Yeah, I think he's a decent sort, and I think he's quite law-abiding. Doesn't have any kids, but he's really good to his niece and nephew.
Yeah,
he's
agree.
A good uncle.
I agree with that. He probably neglects his diet somewhat. Doesn't have what you'd call a varied diet.
Oh, no. I'm very, very concerned about his intestinal health, all told. but that doesn't diminish the fact that he's a good chap.
He's got a belt, a metal belt buckle, but what's on it? What does it depict, Rich?
I feel like he's probably a bit too grown up to have one of those ones that looks like an old seatbelt.
Yes, too grown up for that.
He might.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think he sort of likes American things, so he wouldn't necessarily have, like, you know...
Hasn't got an American
Texas
Indian.
Shaped. No.
Or no, nothing like that. So is it? And you say he's not a motorcyclist, so it won't be Triumph or Harley or Norton.
No, I think it.
So what is it?
I think he might just have a normal belt buckle. I think he's not the kind of guy to muck around.
Is it one of those belts though styling. That's it's over tensioned like a ratchet strap on a trailer, and it's under an enormous amount of tension.
Unless it is in fact just a ratchet strap, because his actual belt broke a few months ago, and he had a very big pie, and he's a very practical make do and mend sort of guy, so he just got a ratchet strap and just ratcheted his straps.
One of those thinner orange ones that might fit in the belt loop.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, just a lightweight one, you know, not a full, like...
That's just brilliant.
I'm not talking about the kind that could sort of hold an Alvis stalwart on a trailer while you move it around. Like, just a low-weight ratchet strap.
Yeah, one for a mattress on taking to the tip on the roof rack of a car, that kind of level.
Yeah, it could still put up with the point where the mattress starts to curl upwards with air pressure as the car moves more quickly.
I've seen so many of those, and you just wince, don't you? It's vertical. The front is vertical. It's like an air dam.
It's just an aerodynamicist would just weep. Just go, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Oh my God, that's terrible.
Yeah,
it's a delight to see. Almost as delightful as seeing an old-fashioned cabriolet at speed when the hood has completely inflated.
Oh, yeah. And it just looks like a sphere.
Yeah. They don't do that anymore, though. They've worked out how to stop convertibles doing that now, but they used to. They always just, sort of like a hemisphere of hood on top of the car.
Have you ever owned a convertible?
Have I? No. Oh, well, I had a Smart Roadster.
Oh, yeah, you had a Smart Roadster long-term. So what, the one with the pull-out, did it have the hard sections?
No, it had electric canvas. Great roof, actually, because you could just put it back and forth at will, you know, any speed. And
it's a bit like the Mini 1 convertible, which I quite like. It retracts the front, or you can lift the whole thing down. So, but most people that own Mini convertibles, I swear, don't actually fully convert the roof. They just have the front bit pulled back.
Mm.
It's a clever system.
Quite a clever roof. Yeah, they still do that. I guess they.
I think they do. It's a great idea, and I've never seen it used on any other car.
No, it's a good point.
I don't know what you'd call it though. What is that? Because it's.
I'm sure they've come up with a name
roof
for it.
The retractable. Yeah, sort of like a demi sunroof thing.
There's a Mini convertible, old shape, parks around the corner from my house, and I've noticed as I've walked by, it has that. The weirdest and most obscure option that you could get on those cars, and it was an option, I'm sure you had to pay for it. It didn't come as standard. Do you remember this? They called it the openometer, and it was a little dial that told you what percentage of your driving time had been spent with the roof down.
Seriously?
Yeah, and it was a little dial that was off the, you know, the rev counter in those Minis was behind the wheel.
Yeah,
the speedos in the middle, and back when they were still doing that, and it's a little extra dial that was sort of on the rev counter. And it was a cost option, and I don't imagine many people bothered because it is idiotic. But this car's got it.
I wonder if that is really rare, but also does it act like those Fitbit style watches where, and I guess on your phones now where it tells you how many steps you've done in a day, it sort of politely bullies you into being more active, which is a good thing. It says, listen, fatty, you've done 3,000 steps today, which means you're basically still in bed. Get on with it. Does the Mini convertible top-down-ometer say that?
I don't know.
Sort of badges you. It goes, listen, it's been raining constantly for the last 30 days. It doesn't matter. Put the roof down.
Put the roof down.
You idiot. Stop being a lightweight. Sort it out.
Maybe. I don't know. Who knows? Somebody had to sit down and design the... you know, wiring and the control algorithm and all sorts for that.
Yeah.
And it's ultimately just strange and pointless. But
it is very pointless. But I kind of dig
there
it. I quite like for first-gen Mini 1s, classics, in about 10 minutes' time, I'm going to wager. Because it's 20 years, isn't it, this year, of the Mini 1?
You suppose it is, yeah.
2001. So if you buy an early Mini 1 that hasn't sort of turned into treacle... or I would get the Cooper S with the whiny supercharger. If they haven't started going up in price now, I would buy one now, like right now, possibly this afternoon, maybe three or 4 days' time. That's my Quentin Wilson pearl of wisdom for this podcast.
It's a good one. Yeah.
Buy an early mini one that isn't totally broken. R53, what have you called?
You've lured me into a nerd trap.
Oh.
R50 was the basic car. So the one and the Cooper were R50, but then the Cooper S, I guess it required some re-engineering and had a separate model code, and that was
R53. Oh, there you go. And it's like I did it intentionally.
It is.
Because I knew you'd have some additional information to furnish us with.
Well, speaking of which, we should probably try and ease this one down through the gears. So
I've got cosplay to do.
Yeah, but I have three things to tell you. One, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel called The Late Break Show, where, as we mentioned earlier on, you can see him testing the Audi Ter-Erd GT. Two, I have various books out, which are stuffed full of sort of nerdish and irritating trivia, like I just said about old minis. They're called The Medium-Sized Book of Boring Car Trivia and Boring Car Trivia Volume 2 by Sniff Petrol, available exclusively on Amazon as ebooks or paperbacks. And three, a good bit of trivia this week from our listener, Ashley Secker. Ashley emailed us and said, following on from Johnny listening to the Grand Designs theme tune four times in a row, I was listening to a podcast the other day when they had a composer on who wrote the Grand Designs theme tune. He also wrote the BBC News theme and the theme tune to The One Show.
Oh.
And do you remember in the 90s there was a song called Would You by Touch and Go, which had this weird sample in it that went, I find you very attractive.
Yes.
Would you like to go to bed with me?
He did that.
He did that. And as Ashley notes in his message, that song inspired The One Show theme tune.
Of course it did.
And if you listen to the two of them together...
Do you know what? I think I've only ever seen all of an episode of The One Show once. I don't think I've ever watched another one all the way through.
I wouldn't lose any sleep over it. I mean, if you want to get a sense of what The One Show's like, just get a newspaper and a whole load of magazines and randomly open them. And whatever you see, that's like an episode of The One Show. It's just, it's an insane...
But make sure that everything's brilliant. Everything has to end with a smile.
Well, it sort of does, but then sometimes it feels like the presenters haven't read ahead on the script and they're just doing it straight from the auto cue, and they have to do those sort of verbal gear changes where they'll go, OK, well, there'll be more on those lovely pandas later on. But the thing is, now some children have got leukaemia and they have to suddenly be serious and stop smiling with their voice, and it's awful when they get tripped up by that. That's my personal...
It's so true, isn't it?
...problem with The One Show. You may have your own, who knows? Or you may have problems with us, in which case you can email us at smithandsniff@gmail.com. And tell us how much you hate us. Or
like
sign
us.
Up to our Patreon and tell us how much you hate us while giving us money.
And that's a really good idea. I completely agree that's the way forward.
Yeah, I hope some people fall for that. Anyway, thank you ever so much for listening, and we will do this all again same time next week. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye. Da 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 da